Find us on Twitter at FSR Arkansas. Now, here's Wes Moore.
Brett Bielema, Dan Enos, Paul Rhodes, they finished up their Friday press conference. Now we can react, talk a little bit more about it. Matt Jones, WholeHogSports.com, joins us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you?
Wes, appreciate it. Doing well.
All right, let me get to something I didn't quite understand, or I guess I learned from this press conference. The speakers in the helmets, is that a practice tool? Is that something new this year? What's going on with the speakers in the helmet?
Yeah, well, it's something that they've done in practice. They can't use it in the games because the college football still doesn't permit that to happen during games. Brett Bielema, who's on the rules committee for the NCAA, thinks that that will be approved at some point in the next couple of years where teams can use that, similar to how the NFL does with quarterbacks or, you know, a linebacker on defense. But the way they've used it in practice is, you know, with quarterbacks. And then they said today that they've used it the last couple of weeks with Brian Wallace, who they've been trying to get more production out of at the right tackle position. And they think that it's helped him with some of his pre-snap decision-making, you know, being able to have a coach in his ear during practice, you know, telling him maybe what to watch for from different, you know, points on the field. They think that maybe that's helped him get prepared better for the season. But you're not going to see that in a game anytime soon.
Well, they're going to have to get like a huge megaphone if they want to, so they can talk to Brian Wallace and yell at him from the sideline and tell him what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. They think that he is kind of taking a step forward the last couple of weeks of practice after they publicly challenged him. He's clearly their number one at that position, but I think that his development is behind that of Colton Jackson on the left side. And that right side of the offensive line, if you want to look at you know, an area that teams might exploit, it might be there with Brian Wallace and Johnny Gibson.
Talking with Matt Jones, WholeHogSports.com. Matt, I was one of the interesting things from Bielema, I guess, was the wide receivers. Maybe as many as 10 playing this year?
Well, I think they're going to have a lot of receivers who are game ready. But I think that, you know, once it comes down to it, you know, there's probably going to be some freshman receivers who are going to be prepared to play. But that may not play if, you know, they can keep from it. You have to think about, you know, a travel roster is, what, 70 players, 72 players, something like that. And so there's no way they're going to take 10 receivers with them on the road. You know, I think that, you know, the more ideal number for a travel squad is about 6 to 8 receivers. I think 8 being maybe one too high. You know, they seem to be pleased with how some of the freshmen are coming along. Like, you know, for instance, Coylin Jackson, Davion Warren. I don't think Gerard Barnes is necessarily where he needs to be to get time at receiver, but I do think that there's a chance that he could factor into the plans and maybe a kickoff return, or you know, maybe they put him back at punt return or something like that. And then you have to think too, Wes, about the players who, you know, can't afford to sit at home. So a Brandon Martin, for instance, who's not on too deep, but they don't have a year where they can redshirt him. So, you know, I think that you know, he's probably on the travel roster. So I think there's a lot of guys that they think could potentially play for him this year, but whether or not all of them do play, I would be surprised if they played that many, to be honest with you.
Matt, was any more light shed on Jared Cornelius, the injury, his situation, availability? What's going on there?
Yeah. Well, they're planning as if he's going to be able to play next Thursday, but the determination won't be made until Tuesday of next week. So you think about a game being on Thursday, it kind of messes up how you practice. So, for instance, you know, during a normal game week, Thursday is kind of a walkthrough day, It's the last practice that the team, and I say walkthrough, it's more than a walkthrough, but it's not the heavy hitting practices like they have on Tuesday and Wednesday. It's a lighter practice, and so Tuesday will be their Thursday next week. That makes sense because Thursday is their Saturday. They think that Jared feels the best he has during this rehab process with his back, but anyone who's ever had back problems or knows someone who has back problems knows how funny a back can be, and just the slightest little thing can potentially re-injure your back. And so they think they're going to have him ready to go next week, Wes, but they're not going to make that decision until a couple of days before the game.
Matt Jones with us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline, WholeHogSports.com. All right, I saw the quote from Paul Rhodes. They like their two deep. They feel like they can play two. They got to do it on the defensive line. But it's been year after year after year. We've heard we got to give those linebackers a break. We got to, it was Brooks Ellis. It was Dre Greenlaw as a freshman. We can't play them so many snaps. Are we going to see this year? Does it sound like they're going to go too deep at linebacker this year?
Well, if I could, to finish the thought real quick on Cornelius, even if he's ready to play next week, I'm not sure that he would play just a whole lot, given the opponent, given the sensitivity of that injury. To answer your question on the linebacker, I think that what he means by having too deep is that they are comfortable with having players get into the game if someone goes down. So, for instance, if a Dre Greenlaw goes down like he did against Alabama last season, they are more comfortable with D. Walker behind him than maybe they were with DeJuan Harris and Dwayne Eugene at this point last season, or at that point last season, October 8th, when he was hurt. But I would be surprised if you see just a whole lot of rotation there. I think you'll see more rotation on the defensive line. I don't think you'll see as much rotation among the linebacker group. And I think, what Paul was really saying there, and he kind of clarified it a minute later after he said that, was that while he does think that, they have 22 players who can play, he was really talking more about the group that he had last year, his secondary. And he said they weren't able to go too deep last season. And he feels like the groups that he's over this year, which is the entire defense, he feels like it's more prepared to have a too deep than the secondary was last season.
How impressive have Chevin Callaway and Cameron Curl been as true freshmen at cornerback to come in and work their way in on the too deep? They must be doing some really good things back there.
Well, I think it's a combination of a couple of things. Number one, that both of those players were a little bit more capable recruits. Number two, they don't have a lot in the secondary at cornerback. It's been a position where they've been, pretty thin the last few years. And that goes back to what Paul Rhodes said about, his position last season, that, they just didn't have players, maybe behind those frontline starters. Pearl, in what we have seen in practice, has been a little bit good and bad. The first scrimmage of the preseason, LaMichael Petway had the big numbers. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Well, they all came against Cameron Curl, who fell down on one route, and I think on the other one he held Petway, and Petway was still able to get away and make a nice catch for about a 64-yard gain, if I remember right. So that was the bad. The next week he came back, and he was a little bit better. He made a nice interception where he made a diving catch on a ball that was overthrown by Ty Story. That was the last time that we've seen any practice, any live action from this team. That's been a couple of weeks back. The reports coming from the players and the coaches say that Cameron has really been practicing well since that point. Callaway, I think that he has looked better than Curl. But he's kind of competing at one position with Brito Tutt, who, he didn't play last season, but he was able to be in the weight room and get some, have another year just around the program, which I think helps. So I think both of them will play, but I think that they're being in a two-deep probably is a little bit more of an indictment on the recruiting that they've had at that position than the fact that they're, you know, SEC ready as freshmen.
Very good stuff. Matt Jones with us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. I was surprised when they talked about Buster Brown or Monteric Brown out of Ashdown playing this year. I just thought once he came in late, no summer, missed fall camp. They got three guys in Santos Ramirez and DeAndre Coley and Josh Liddell that, you know, they played a lot of football, and two of them are seniors, the other one a junior. I just figured Brown, this is a red shirt. You know, he came in late, get bigger, stronger, faster, whatever, learn the defense, and then he's ready to go next year, you know, if he's one of the top set. I don't know. I guess I was just a little taken back that he may play this year.
Well, I think with Brown, there's a couple of things at play. Number one, he was such a big recruit that I'm not sure they think they can keep him for 5 years. And so, you know, on a player like that, what's the point in redshirting them if you're not sure that you're going to be able to keep them for that fifth year? And the other thing is that at safety, when you get past Liddell, Coley, and Santos Ramirez, there's not a lot there at safety. Now, they think they've got some suitable replacements for them, and I think, you know, I think whether or not they say it, they think Monteric might be one of those suitable replacements. It's just a matter right now of teaching him the defense, because he wasn't able to go through the preseason or even the off-season training with a lot of the other freshmen. So I think he'll play some. I don't know that it'll be a lot, but I think that the best way to get a safety ready to play in a game is to just go ahead and put him out there. I think that's the toughest position to play on the defense, at least at, you know, this level of college football. And so I think that the thought process there is, if he's not going to be back for a fifth year, might as well get as much out of him as you can this season, and go ahead and get him game ready in case one or more of those upperclassmen safeties goes down.
You know, one thing, when the depth chart came out, there wasn't, to me, a lot of surprises, but just looking at it, to me, all the freshmen, sophomores, juniors, I added it up. On offense, 32 players on the two deep, 6 are seniors. On defense, 27 players on that two deep, 7 seniors. There's a lot of guys coming back next year. I mean, there could be some juniors that leave, whatever, but this is a fairly, they're important seniors, but it's a fairly young team.
Yeah, it is, and I think everyone expected that. Last season they lost a lot of seniors, the 4 receivers and the tight end, for instance. If you think back to the year before that, they lost Denver Kirkland and Alex Collins and Hunter Henry all a year early, and so that was a big class, and I think that they knew that there was going to be some turnover coming this season, and that's why they redshirted, and I think that's why a lot of those players either redshirted last season or didn't play a whole lot, was because of who was in front of them. And so I think that's why there's a lot of question marks on offense, especially with the receivers right now.
Matt, enjoyed it. Thank you, man. We appreciate your time coming on here and talking a little bit about the press conference. Have a good weekend. Enjoy it. That's your last free weekend for a while. Well, I guess there's a bye weekend, but enjoy it.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Wes. We'll see you.
See you, Matt. Matt Jones, WholeHogSports.com. Check it out. I've already seen some of the stuff on WholeHogSports.com. They do a great job with the updates.